Sairam, dear listeners, we are back with part 2 of our interview with Dr. Hema Gopinathan. In case you have missed part 1 of this conversation, you can catch it by visiting our website www.radiosai.org. In the audio search box, please key in the name of Dr. Hema Gopinathan. Now over to Dr. Hema Gopinathan in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi.
You mentioned that you always knew Swami was guiding you through the surgery because based on your prior experience in Canada where he helped you with diagnosis and surgeries, do you recall any particular instances when you were treating patients and you felt his hand in guiding you?
So many times. I'll just give you a few of them. Sure. There was a old lady in Canada. She was a grandmother-in-law of one of her doctors. And he said, please operate on her. She was dying, practically. Sweaty, no pulse.
What was wrong with her?
Cholecystitis. Gallbladder was inflamed.
Okay.
But she was so thin, the gallbladder was almost looking at you. So the anesthetist said, I can't give anesthesia. I'll give her oxygen and a little sedation. And you do your surgery quickly. He just had to incise. And the gallbladder popped out. But before doing any gallbladder surgery, there is a blood test that you have to do. And he had ordered it, and usually the nurses put it in front of the chart so that the doctor can look at it before he does the operation. In the intensity of the situation, he operated, closed, and in Canada, for a surgeon to operate, he must have another surgeon to assist, FRCS or CRCS. The MBBS cannot assist. So the operation was finished. The gentleman walks. And this gentleman usually takes 100 years to walk out of a place. Slow he will go. But as soon as he closed, he looked at the test. He said, my God, I should have done more surgery. I shouldn't have done just the removal of the gallbladder. So they page him. He's gone. He's not in the hospital. And he calls the anesthetist. He has gone for a delivery. So he cannot do the surgery, reopen and do the surgery what is indicated by the test. So he said, okay, I will do it tomorrow. But this doctor who was assisting never leaves the hospital like this. But he was gone. So Swami did not want the surgery to be any more than what was done. The next day he goes to the patient and he says, Mrs. Chuba, I have to do you again. There is a stone left. Hi doc, the stone is gone. I don't have a stone. She was fine. So Swami stopped. Had he seen the test, he would have done a bigger surgery and she would have died. Mm-hmm. So Swami stopped him. Another case, there was a fat, big lady who was operated again for the gallbladder. And she had a drainage and she poured fluid out. And we kept looking, what is the reason, what is the reason? We couldn't find out. One day, my husband goes for rounds and there is a test in front of the chart. This is a test he has not ordered. So he asked me whether I ordered. I didn't order. And there are a couple worked together. He asked everyone who was ordered. Nobody had ordered. The test was there. It gave the diagnosis.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
So he makes the diagnosis. He stops us from doing anything more than we have to. And one other thing, there was a lady, a friend, who always got dreams about our interaction with Swami. And she one day called and she said, Dr. Saab, you do funny stitching. Normally, we don't tell people who we are operating on. It is a dark-skinned man, Indian or Pakistan. You were stitching so funnily. And she showed exactly the surgical suture.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Swami was walking up and down. It was a serious case. You had called a consultant. And when you were, it was all right, Swami said, success, and walked out.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami was in the theater when all of this was happening.
When her dream reflected exactly.
Exactly. All the skin, it was a dark skinned man. Sir said, Sir, Swami, you come in everyone's dream. I don't know you. You are there. The next day he gets a dream. He's just suturing a little laceration in the emergency room in a hotel hospital. And Swami was there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just to confirm.
Small case, big case. Diagnosis you want, all of these, so many, difficult to, little things, but these were the interesting cases. So we knew if he was there, he will be here where only two of us are there. medicine and surgery have been our life. We have always enjoyed working and working hard. We'll stay up all night. In Pathamadi, we are nobody. So when he will be operating, I will be sitting with the post-op cases because he has operated and left them. And we sometimes slept in the hospital. Hospital was not very far away, but we slept there so that we don't even miss a few minutes in taking care of them. Mm-hmm. So only because we knew Swami was there, we could have taken that step. Otherwise, we couldn't have done big, big surgeries.
I guess Swami took care, gave you the right kind of life experiences, professional experiences, financial security to be able to dedicate yourself so thoroughly. Many people can dream of it, but they cannot translate into reality without God's grace.
Yes, absolutely. He was with us. And this is in practice. He also showed us that He is with us in our day-to-day life. Sir was in a... He was finishing some sound system arrangement for one of our Sai meetings. And he was coming back. And there is a left turn one has to make from the main road.
I see.
One big truck made a left turn in front of his Datsun. And the Datsun was the right out. And he was, had it been 1 second later, he would have been crushed on the spot. But he escaped just unscathed. He walked out of the hospital. The police called me, madam. Her husband has been in an accident, but please come and pick him up to let me know that he is not seriously injured. Not injured at all. The car was gone, but he was there to take care of me.
He says, if you do my work, I will take care of yours.
I will take care of it. Mm-hmm. Then there was one other episode where there was a lawsuit against the hospital. I was the consultant. The son was very upset that the father died. No, I said angry. We had already made plans to come here. But the subpoena was served just a week before we were leaving. Mm-hmm. So we said we'll go and we will come back. So as soon as I came, I gave the subpoena to Swami. Swami, the son is very angry. Not angry. He's just upset. And he went away. We came with a date to go back because the case was there. My son said, you don't do that with Swami. You have to let Swami decide when you have to go back. So we cancelled our ticket. We were learning how to sort of relate to Swami. So you don't come with a plan. Mm-hmm. He makes the plan for you. Every few weeks he will ask me, when are you going? Swami, when you say. Again, he played on like that. In those days, you couldn't get taxis as easily. Mm-hmm. Or taxi, you'll have to call Bangalore. It will come in 3 hours. Every 1 week, we were not even giving our laundry. We'll pack up. Today, Swami will send us. Today, Swami will. Absolutely, we were nervous in some ways. My husband said, you know what? This is a contempt of court if you don't appear. So you'll be in jail. I said, if Swami wants me in jail, that's where I will be. So anyway, the last day, I think it was 10 o'clock, Swami called us for an interview. Go. So we came out. I mean, you couldn't have been happier. When he said, go, people don't like to be told. Mm-hmm. So, we were like, no taxi. Then one taxi had come to deliver somebody. So we went, ran to him. Are you free to take us? He can. So we went in the taxi. No tickets. 2 tickets from Panam, Bangalore to Bombay. No further tickets. We went there. We stood in the line. And the last 2 tickets. To go to New York. From New York, of course, it was not difficult. As I landed in New York, my secretary calls. I called her. And she said, where are you, Dr. Hema? Case tomorrow. I said, I know that. She said, everyone has been looking for you. Your lawyer has been looking for you very bad. Because he wanted to coach me.
Yeah.
And Swami did not want any. Because there was nothing wrong in what I did. It was a straightforward thing. And he didn't want me to be muddled up with what the lawyer says. The lawyer wanted me to be in his room in the morning. I went, he had nothing to say. Do you remember the case? I said, yes, I know everything. And I went. This was the day before Indira Gandhi was October 31st, 84.
Yes.
So I walked into there. The case was going so badly for the hospital. Morning session. Everyone who is not a, what is it called? Criminal case. So I can sit.
Yeah.
Witnesses can sit in. And I heard where the loopholes they are picking. Then in the afternoon, they said, doctor, please introduce yourself and tell us your association with this case. Swami had given me a vibhuti. I held it and I don't know what I talked. He said, where did you graduate and all? And in direct, they can't cross-examine. So they let me talk from 1 o'clock to 4:10 or so. And you should have seen the faces of my nursing superintendent, hospital administrator. They were all so relaxed because I had plugged all the holes. And then the defense said, sir, it's too late in the day. I have a very long cross-examination. Can we adjourn and come tomorrow? So next day, he couldn't ask me 5 minutes worth of question. The case we won. And Swami had kept me till the last minute, sent me and cleared the case. So this is how he has taken care of us every little way. So one other experience which told us that he was at home also. When we were in Windsor, we used to have bhajans at 7 p.m. every day at home. Children may join because they were not at home at that time. Husband may be there, but whether there is one person or not, we will start the bhajan. One day, it was a weekend. I had to go to Toronto on some Sai work. I don't remember what it was. I came home and there was still time. I was invited to an opening of a Bal Vikas in Monroe, Michigan. So I thought I'll go and come back. Across the border. I have enough time. I will come back. I was crossing the bridge. It was 7 o'clock. So I said, my God, it's 7 o'clock. I said, Om, and I started bhajans.
Driving and singing
and came home. We are very close to the bridge. When I came, my garage opener had got locked inside the garage. And the second garage opener was with a friend who was supposed to have left the garage open. And he wasn't there. There was a white car in front of my house. So I went to the next door and I said, can I call my friend? And I called and I came back. The white car was gone. And my friend came and I said, how come you didn't open the garage? I have been up and down. He said, Didi, maine to khola tha. I had opened it. And as we opened the door, there was a big breeze, meaning that some other door was open inside.
Yeah, that's where the draft is coming.
The inner door he had locked and the outer door was open. Instead now the garage door was closed and the inner door was open. So we thought somebody had broken in. So here we go with a hockey stick inside and looked. Nothing was touched. Everything was in place. So he said, anyway, somebody has come in. So it's not safe for you to be alone. I was alone. So he said, come home. Tomorrow morning you can go to work. I said, no, I have to get ready for work and it's not easy. I'll be here. I'll sleep in the basement where our altar was. I'll be safe. So I slept there. He went away. Next morning I get a call. Hemaji, you know what? Raj had a dream. This is the same lady who dreamt about the stitches. Said, Shirdi Baba came and he said, Saat bajne ke chand minute pehle main aaya tha. That is, few minutes before 7 o'clock, I came. And so you don't have to worry. Saying, you can imagine. And he would say, Saat bajne ke chand minute pehle. He did that. You know,
Hand gesture.
Exactly like Swami, you know. I was there. You were not there. And the white car. In those days, Swami was driving a white car. And the white car disappeared as soon as I came.
That was the car you had spotted.
So, I thought it was a thief who had run away. It was
Bhagwan.
The big thief.
Yes. The one who stole your heart.
Right.
Big time.
Right.
And he also wrenched your heart sometimes and squeezed it really hard.
But that is okay. Now, once he loves you like that, it doesn't matter.
He's entitled to it.
Yeah.
All these instances speak of your complete faith in him, your total surrender. I guess you were put to test one more time once when Bhagwan invited you to Kodaikanal and you were expecting to accompany him there, which is such a privilege. But the catch was you had to come by yourself while your husband was really sick and he expected you to leave him behind and put a parthi. How did that happen?
Twice before he had taken us. Therefore, we thought this year also he's likely to take. And the first year he took us as guests. Second year he took us as doctors. The third year I said, God, if he calls us, we don't want to go. Swami, please don't call. Please don't call. Because he couldn't have managed and I couldn't have managed.
Your husband was very ill at
that
time.
Very ill. He couldn't walk straight. He needed 24 hours attention. So I said, this is not possible. And we were praying. Have you ever heard of people praying not to be taken?
Dream for most devotees.
Yes. And he calls us for an interview. He says, come to Kodaikanal. So we had told him, if you are calling us, you must make him better. At least travel worthy and not be a problem to everyone. Then I had called Sri Chakravarti and I said, sir, he cannot get into the bus here, go to the airport, get down. He was not fit to do that. So can we come by car to the airport? He says, but he is not coming. I said, what? He's not coming, only you are coming. I said, not possible. And I cried because I couldn't imagine how he was going to manage without me. Anyway, and my friends were with me. Said, let's go and ask Chakravarti, sir, how will you go? He's so sick. So we went. But just before we went, he had confirmed with Satyajit that Swami did want only me. So he said, I have talked and only you are going. And he said, don't say he has to come with you. Don't say you will not go. Because don't we all say, Swami does everything. Why are you thinking you are doing? Just be quiet and come. I thought about it. I said, isn't it true? We always say Swami does. And yet when it comes to the real thing, we forget he does. We think we are doing. So I went home, wiped my ears, and I had to break it to my husband. I said, you are not coming. I am going. Oh, okay, go. That was his response. He has always been so easy with Swami's decisions. So my friend said, okay, I will come for lunch, you come for dinner, we will take care of him, and here are three keys of the house. You have one, he have one. I had no key. Only those three had the key because I was going away. So Swami calls us for an interview again that evening, probably to see how swollen my face was. And he says, how many types of pain medicines do you have? I said, this upsets stomach, this does this, this does. Where are the medicines? Swami, I have packed it. What packed it? Go and get it. So I went.
To your room?
And to my, but my room was locked and the keys were with somebody. Uh-huh. So I went to the hospital to get the similar medicine.
So you left the interview room to grab medicines?
Because he wanted, and my husband was with Swami for 15 minutes alone. And I asked my husband, what did you do? We both sat and looked at each other.
Oh my God, how beautiful.
Yeah, he prepared him for the stay.
Yeah.
That was a 10-day stay, I think. And he was beautifully taken care of.
15 minutes alone with Swami, eyeball to eyeball.
And nothing else, quiet time. Hmm. And so, these are, every time he has given us a challenge, the result has been just beautiful. It's just, Soumya's, our return was the easiest one, not a challenge. I won't even, because he has just fulfilled our wish.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughters and sirs was really hard to begin with.
I understand your husband's health has been a matter of concern, not only to you, to Bhagwan as well. There was a time when he was hospitalized and Swami showed great compassion. Please share with us the experience.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was the year we came here. 98, after the mothers passed away, he let us start working here. And 1 month, October, Paduka Puja was going on. And my husband had a massive gastrointestinal bleed. And following that, he had chest pain. So he was rushed to Super Speciality Hospital, CCU, where they thought he had a heart attack. And Dr. Bhagavat was our medical superintendent. And it was, of course, customary that they will go and tell Swami, Swami, this is our doctor, has had a problem, he's admitted. So when he told him, who is Gopinath? Swami says, every day in the veranda, he will be talking to my husband. So he says, who is this Gopinath? So he says, Swami, you talk to him every day. So, oh, but he's so thin and he doesn't smoke. But sir, Swami, he is in the hospital. The doctors think he has a heart attack. Normally, Swami will give vibhuti. He didn't give vibhuti also. So he was very downhearted that he is in the hospital. Swami has given nothing. Next day, while the Paduka Puja is going on, Swami comes. Gopinath, I have come just for you.
To the hospital?
Floating, yes. Floating through the CCU, came to him and rubbed his hand on his chest and asked for a little water, put vibhuti, gave it like a mother. And, somebody had said, it was worth being sick. Yes, very.
For the tender, loving care of the Lord.
And the Lord said, it is not heart, it is only gas. And he recovered. And what happens is, once Swami takes over, nobody discharges you. Only Swami has to tell. So I had to sit in darshan line. Swami, yes, he can come home. Then he said, walked back and he said, not to the sea floor. Get a room in the ground floor. We were unknown people here. So when I went to the accommodation, Swami didn't tell us that you need a ground floor room. I said, see, I can go up to the sea floor. I have no problem. Swami said, I'm telling you, I will go. So he said, okay, here is the key for 3 days. After that, we can see. Nobody asked us after that. We stayed downstairs till Swami said, go up. Now, there is an issue in relation to this. At that time, there is a very lovely VIP lady. Very, very nice lady. Long time devotee of Swami. She was a bad asthmatic on cortisone. She fell and she had a huge hematoma, fracture, dislocation of the shoulder. And my husband was still recovering. The daughter and son-in-law came to him, said, come and see my mother. What we can do. They came with a car, took him. And he said, God, she's a surgeon's, what do you call it?
Nightmare.
She nobody can touch her. She's so sick and they can't do anything. So he came away. Next day, there was a doctor who used to take my husband for darshan. He was sitting in darshan, closing his eyes. Swami came to him and he said, you know, she's having a lot of pain. She said, we must do something. Why don't you put anesthesia just there and just local enough.
And then operate?
Local and then you can manipulate it.
Okay, manipulate the shoulder.
So he said, Swami, is he? Okay, Swami. And Swami gave a date. Swami gave the time. And on that day, the lady was sitting at the gate. Swami came, blessed her, gave vibhuti and said, by 10:30, everything will be over. And so my husband also very happily, Swami has done this, she will be all right. Took her to surgery. He had just put the anesthesia local. She died. So, now, what is the lesson in all of this? If you think when Swami says do something, results are good, it is not. It doesn't have to. They are good at a different place.
Level.
For that lady, life might have been very miserable with pain and all. And she had finished her karma. Swami wanted her. He wanted an instrument to do that to her. So, he got my husband. And my husband was not, he was sad this happened. But he said, who knows, I have just come back from Canada. Maybe I had a table death. You know, patients can die on the table. And maybe I had a court case. All of that, Swami has made it brief here, like this. Because evidently the lady's son was going to sue doctor for this. But Swami told him, no, this is like that or whatever. He convinced, we don't know what he told the son. But so my husband thought Swami had minimized what he might have had gone
face
through.
Otherwise. And he did tell her it'll all be over by 10:30. Only in retrospect it made sense.
But he didn't know what would be over. We all think surgery will be over. Not life will be over. So that was...
If I may backtrack, you mentioned that Swami sent you away when he spent 15 minutes exclusively with your husband. He sent you away to bring some painkillers. Did he comment on any painkillers?
Of course he said, 2 minutes for all this. One will upset the stomach. One is not a good thing for liver. And I think he wanted time with my husband. That's all. This was an excuse.
To send you away from the room for a bit.
Yeah.
I see. So, are there any other poignant moments that you've shared with Bhagwan or interactions you've had that you could share with us? The ones that come to mind.
In 2002, my daughter-in-law needed help. Her baby was being born. So we thought Swami will send us. Swami came and said, you go, I will take care of him. Kept my husband back. And he sent me away. And again, my husband at that time was not sick, but he didn't know how to cook. He didn't know, how to manage alone. He would have done it in the canteen, but his stomach was always a problem. But anyway, so Swami said, I will take care of him. And he said, made arrangements for Sevadal to bring breakfast, lunch and dinner. And every day, for the first few days, he'll say, breakfast on time, enough amount, enough food. Every day, every meal, he will ask whether it came on time, the amount was enough, did you like it, like that. And many times, he will be going to Purnachandra for some drama rehearsal, I think. And he'll say, and I will say, so the girl, doctors around, what is this? I didn't see both. I said, I think he's asking me this. And I'm answering, I don't know what he's really asking. So like that, it was such a friendly thing. And he didn't want my husband to go that time. And when I came back, he was going to come and pick me up from Bangalore. So he told Swami, Swami, I'm going to pick her up today. Say, how are you going? Swami, I've got the taxi. No, I will send that car. So he sent the car with a driver. Now, the car was a little car. So after I got out and sat in the car, I asked my husband, now, most people who come from abroad have big boxes. How does Swami think anybody can put any box here? So the driver turns back and said, Swami said she travels light, he knows it.
Oh my God.
Because I go only with a small suitcase. I never travel heavy. Uh-huh. So Swami told him, she travels very light, don't worry.
And you're practicing less luggage, more comfort that Swami always prescribed.
Yes.
Most of us tend to lug around big suitcases when we come from the West. That's amazing. Dr. Gopinathan, when you look back at your life with so many experiences, decades of being with Swami and being tested, tried, proven true, when you look back, what are the most precious life lessons that you have derived from your experiences?
I would say to please Swami at any cost must be my only goal. I make mistakes, but at least my goal is that. Does this action please Swami? Will this action please Swami? And other than that, I don't want to merge. I don't know all these things. I don't get dreams, nothing. But action, my action must please. And many times I am short-tempered. Then I say, Swami, sorry. Then he gives me another opportunity, and not an easy one, harder one. So I said, doesn't matter. This time you have given, I will try. So this has been my most important. And to implicitly, whichever way he tells me to do, I will do. But most of the time, he doesn't directly give me other than those episodes. Lately, I mean, after the last few years, there is hardly any interaction other than for patients. I don't ask anything. And there is no why in our vocabulary. We don't ever ask why. Why this me or why this episode? We don't ask why. And we just, this is the moment. What have I to do to please Swami?
So you don't feel like a victim at any time?
At all. Very, very happy with what has happened to us. Difficult, yes. We don't say it has been easy all the time. But it is easier when you don't fight it. And the other thing is, no expectation. Expectation is the problem. Mm-hmm. If you expect something unfulfilled, you get irritated. Even the smallest expectation. You want to sleep, you can't sleep. Irritated. So like that. But expectation I have not been able to get over yet. Mm-hmm. But small expectation. Big, we don't have any. As you said, everything is fulfilled. What do we have to ask for?
Well, your life has come a full circle.
Very, very.
Doesn't it bother you? Your husband has served so many patients all his life with such a zeal and love to please God. And he's experiencing very poor health right now. Do you ever wonder?
I only say he must have earned it somehow. Or it's an experience that is necessary for us to grow. Whether it is deserved or whether it is good for us to experience, it is there. It's a fact. So unless we face it well, it is only going to be miserable. Mm-hmm. So, and to be miserable is to not love Swami. We have to be happy. My husband used to say when he first came, he had severe stomach trouble. And he would say, Swami, stomach pain. Oh, gas. Always Swami's answer is that. So he said, Doctor, be happy. Every interview as he leaves, he'll say, be happy. He'll come out and say, how can you be happy with so much pain? But we have learned now. See, being happy and having physical problem is not mutually exclusive. You can still do it. You have to put your mind to it. That's
practice.
But what makes it easy is he never complains. And he's never sorry for himself. He says, okay, this is the way it is. I may be sorry, but he is never sorry. So that makes it easy. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, a depressed person
is
difficult to live with.
Yeah.
And he has really, now he's forgetting things. Where he has written little books for his grandchildren. Now he has to look at them to
recall
his own life.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't mind. Once he wrote a book saying, Parkinson's a gift of God. Can you imagine? At that time he felt it was a gift. Now, of course, he doesn't remember. Did I write that? He says. Anyway, he accepts that also.
Total acceptance.
Total acceptance.
There's 9 months since Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi.
Mm-hmm.
How did you deal with that event? One that really shook millions of devotees. It was a very difficult time for us.
For a very long time when he was in the hospital, I said, he's going to get up and walk and come. He's not going. But when it happened, I just couldn't believe it. I still thought he will come somewhere. He'll come. That was constantly my feeling that he will come. But when I saw that body, those 3 days, absolutely miserable. I said, God, that body carried that huge, beautiful soul for so many years. And he's lying there as though helpless. And it bothered me what all rituals they did for the body also. What is the purest body that can be? After that, I said, that is only the body that is gone. He's around. He's around in all his fullness, probably fuller than ever before. The body was a jail for him, and he tolerated it because he wanted to teach us something. Now, he is free to do whatever he wants to do in the magnitude that he wants to do. Even though from the body he could have done many things, but freedom is freedom. And so I have no sadness now. I only, every day, it goes the same way. Swami, I have to please you. Help me to please you. And when I finish, I say, I have made mistakes. I will try again. This is all. So I'm not sad anymore. He's there. He was there. He's there. He will be there.
And the presence is so obvious in the general hospital.
Yes.
There have been manifestations, and the work ethic and the environment is just permeates with Swami's presence there.
Yes, and the hospital is beautiful to work. We have no politics amongst us, except each one will advise what Swami will like, or we should have done this, or we would like to do this for Swami. Our whole focus is Swami.
And that
and
really
the
builds the team spirit there. If I asked you, after all that you have told me of your intense relationship with this avatar, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, for you in your life, what does he stand for?
Everything. He is my friend and a guide. That would be my top. Father, mother, yes, but friend and guide. Holding my hand and guiding me through whatever I do. If I make mistakes, he doesn't let my hand go. He just tells me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Shows me. It's a friend and guide.
BFF, best friends forever.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure listening to you. Thank you very much, Dr. Gopinathan, for sharing your time and experiences
with
us.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. And it has been a pleasure. I have put it together for this only. Otherwise, so many things happened. And I said, God, it has gone on. Like beads in a thread.
Yeah.
First segment, second. Each one preparing me for the next.
Beautiful pattern, isn't it?
Very. I never realized it. Never sat down to think about it. So you gave me an opportunity to do that.
Thank you, Sairam.
Thank you, Sairam.
Sairam. Dear listeners, you just heard the concluding part of this two-part interview with Dr. Hema Gopinathan. We hope you enjoyed it. Please send in your feedback. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for joining us, and please stay tuned to our next program. Sai Ram.